Luke 10:7 and 8 says this. Stay with that person of peace. Stay at their house, eating and drinking with them. Verse 8, and wherever you do receive a welcome, eat whatever is set before you. Now, last week we thought a little bit about what is a person of peace and how do you recognize one? If you weren't here last week, go to the website, listen to the podcast. All those questions are answered comprehensively in that podcast. But to briefly summarize, we saw that a person of peace is basically someone who allows and welcomes your presence in their life. This week, we're going to think a little bit about what to do next. And in all this, we're deriving lessons from Jesus' instructions to the 72 disciples who he sent out on mission. They carried out his ministry in the towns and villages of first century Judea. Week by week, we're considering what does it mean for us to carry that same mission and that same kingdom culture in the 21st century into the territory that God has called us to occupy. Now, in these verses, Jesus is preparing the 72 for the hospitality that people of peace will be extending them. Now, don't miss that, because right there, a fundamental rethink about what mission is being asked of us by those verses. Don't miss that. And I say that because through the 20th century, the Western church settled in Western communities for much of that time switched that picture right around, put the boot entirely on the other foot. Mission meant putting up a tent and inviting people to come to it. It meant organizing an event and inviting people to come to that. Or putting on a service and inviting people to attend. Or running a course and getting people to come. But by one form or another, we the Christians, the church on mission, by that paradigm, we were the hosts, and the world, they were the guests. We were the hosts inviting the world in to our place to be our guests. And so in our settled church life, we replaced us going to the world with the world coming to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with inviting. Many people have found Christian community and have come to a personal faith in Jesus through those kind of invitations. So let's not decry it. And just the other week, I spoke about the power of inviting people into your home where they can see and hear and feel a living expression of the kingdom of God. But in Luke 10, in the apostolic mission of the 72, echoing the apostolic mission of the 12, who are the hosts and who are the guests? Who are the hosts? It's the people of peace. They're the hosts. And who are the guests? It's the 72, the Christians, those on mission. They're the guests. The people of peace are the ones doing the inviting. The job of those on mission, the 72, is to be good guests for the people of peace. It's that way round. So what might it mean for us to be good guests in the lives of our people of peace? What does it mean for us to be good guests? Before we wrestle with that question, I just want to point out something about the kind of hospitality that is being offered by the people of peace in Luke 10. And the clue is in these instructions about food. Verse 7 says, "Stay with them, eating and drinking with them." Eating and drinking with them. Eating and drinking what your hosts eat. Eating and drinking with the hosts. So what that tells us is that the hosts are simply including their guests, the missionaries, into the life of their household. So it's not a hospitality that has put something on that revolves around the guests, saying, "Look, we put this on for you." It's a different kind of hospitality. It's a hospitality that says, "We're having this. Please come and join us." It's a hospitality that says, "We're doing this. Please join in." Do you see the difference? It's a hospitality of inclusion into the rhythm of their lives. And in that, I think there's a great lesson for setting a guest at ease, for not making them feel self-conscious, and for opening your life to others without having to add a whole layer of things you wouldn't normally do. This kind of hospitality is simply about including others in the rhythm of your life. "We're doing this. Would you like to join us? We're going to such and such a thing. Would you like to come along?" People of peace in Luke 10 express a culture of inclusion, and one that as hosts we can emulate in the way we live our lives. But when Jesus mentions food for the second time in two verses, it is clearly with the response of the missionaries, the response of the guests, in view. He says, "Eat whatever is set before you." Clearly, Jesus is telling the 72 to be good guests, to be easy guests to accommodate. But surely the 72 wouldn't have any food issues, would they? Why would he have to say, "Eat whatever is set before you"? Why would that be an issue? I mean, certainly when Jesus sent the 12, there were no food issues. They were instructed to go only to the lost sheep of Israel in the region of Judea. As devout Jews, the 12 ate kosher. And if they were going to Jewish households, as instructed by Jesus, their hosts would eat kosher too. And sure enough, this phrase, "eat whatever is set before you," is not in Jesus' instructions to the 12, because it's simply not going to be an issue. But now, as Jesus sends the 72 into every town and place where he was about to go, that's what it says. Well, what if the person of peace in a given town was an Italian centurion, such as Peter encountered in Caesarea, or such as Jesus encountered in Capernaum? What if the person of peace in a given town was a Syrophoenician woman, such as Jesus met in the district of Tyre and Sidon? What if the person of peace in a particular town was a Gentile merchant, such as Paul encountered in Philippi. What were they going to do then? Sat down for dinner together. I'm ever so sorry, but is this kosher? This veal, I mean, it looks lovely, but it wasn't cooked in its mother's milk, was it? Jesus is saying, don't have food issues. Now, just to be clear, when I say food issues, we're not talking about allergies. All right? Don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about allergies. We're not talking about food intolerances. That we understand. I don't think such things were the issue then that they are now, whatever the reasons for that might be. But we know that the issues of the day were the religious practices around food. And for Jews, the issue of kosher practice. And even if the kosher question turned out to be a non-issue for the 72 on their mission, Luke, writing his gospel, knew it certainly would be for later generations of Christian missionaries reading his book. He knew it was a phrase he had to include from Jesus' instructions. Luke was a European. He was very alive to the issues that might arise. This meat, I mean, it looks lovely, but this wasn't sacrificed at the local temple to an idol, was it? Because we can't eat that. Jesus is saying, don't have food issues. Be a good guest. Be easy to accommodate. Similarly, the Apostle Paul, Luke's colleague, taught his Christians the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says this to the believers there, if some unbeliever extends you an invitation and you choose to go, eat everything. He's even more emphatic. Eat everything that is set before you. Whatsoever they set before you, eat it without raising questions of conscience. Paul's teaching is rooted in this instruction to the 72 and in Jesus' declaration in Mark 7 that all foods should now be considered clean. And that is so that we can receive and welcome one another as one humanity, eating and drinking together, because there is nothing like eating and drinking together for bonding a group of people together. And in this way, Jesus is teaching his 72 to model that new humanity. He tells them to be easy guests, people that it's pleasant and easy for a person of peace to have in their life. Is that you? Are you an easy guest? Are you an easy and pleasant person for a person of peace to have in their life? Don't answer for the person sitting next to you. Are you an easy guest, an easy and pleasant person for a person of peace to have in their life? Now for us, our hard edges and our hot buttons might have nothing to do with food. We may have no food issues at all. Whether we're easy people to be around and a welcome presence in the lives of others may touch on quite different sensitivities. For instance, imagine this conversation. One friend is saying to another, mate, for fishing this weekend, I thought I'd invite Bruce. Oh, yeah, Bruce. He's top bloke. Just while he's around, though, don't mention Malcolm Turnbull in any conversation because he'll be off. Or Bill Shorten. Or should it come up, Lady Gaga, because he absolutely hates her. or my kitchen rules. He's got an absolute thing about reality TV. He hates that kind of stuff. He really does. Or Monsanto. He'll be talking for 40 minutes if you raise that subject. And don't mention Donald Trump. Or Muslims. Or anyone who's gay. Or Collingwood. What do you reckon? Is Bruce good company? Is Bruce going to be an easy guest on that fishing trip? Now, I actually think that these are challenging days in which to get the balance right. Because I'm anticipating what Bruce might say to me at this point. Certainly, it is not right for Christians to be silent on the great issues of the day. The false prophets of the Old Testament were judged very harshly for speaking peace, peace, when there was no peace. So it is not right for the believer to be silent on the great issues of the day. Martin Luther King once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And the truth is, we take sides by silence. We take sides when we fail to speak for those who are weak, for those who are vulnerable. Think for a moment about those who were silent or neutral in the Holocaust of World War II. Or those who preferred to be silent concerning the brutality that fueled the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Their silence, their neutrality, don't look so neutral now as we look back, as judged by history. Because silence always empowers the bully and disempowers the victim. So how then are we to carry ourselves in such polarized times as these? How do we speak in times of conflict and disagreement over things that matter? I love the description of Jesus in John's prologue to his gospel. John describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Not full of opinion, not full of hot buttons, not full of fury, but full of grace and truth. And I believe that same balance resides here in the apostolic call of Luke 10, in these missionary instructions. Because in this passage we see that the 72 were to speak of God's kingdom. God's kingdom, that realm where God's values and ways are made manifest. To speak of God's kingdom is to speak of God's values and God's priorities and God's measures of goodness and justice and God's love for the hungry and the destitute and the sick and those in prison. God's self-sacrificing love for people. That's not silence. That's a message full of truth, with all its implications for the great issues of the day. But when Jesus sends out the 72, he doesn't send them with a message only. In fact, the Luke 10 instructions contain a whole number of steps. I'm going to mention four of them. So this is slide number one. The first step in these apostolic instructions is the speaking of peace. That's where the conversation begins. That's how the relationship is formed. And then the second step is a sharing of life, eating and drinking together. The third step is ministering to the needs of our people of peace. Jesus says to the 72, heal the sick. And that's really a summary of what he says to the 12. Heal the sick, cleanse those with leprosy, relieve those afflicted by evil spirits. And the fourth step is the proclamation of God's kingdom. So put together, that is a journey of grace and truth. And do you think there might be some wisdom in that order? Does it make sense that we would begin by speaking peace? Can I have the second slide? Does it make sense that we would begin by speaking peace, which is about blessing and giving respect and honor and recognizing and affirming and finding shared ground and agreement? I think it does. Does it make sense that the next step is to receive or extend an invitation to eat and drink together and to continue the journey that way? I think it does. Does it make sense that the next step might be to take up on the opportunities to minister to the needs that might have emerged? And does it make sense that the opportunity to proclaim the kingdom of God might flow from that? I think there's wisdom in the order of those steps. And that when we build our relationship with others in that order, it works better. If we do that, we're sharing a journey that is full of grace and truth. Last week, and I'll close with this story as an illustration, I called in at a day spa. It wasn't for myself. Ruth had been given a voucher for the place and had tried it out a few weeks ago and loved it. Now, just pay attention to the two sides of this slide as I tell you what happened. So I went to this day spa to buy Mrs. Wallace another voucher for Valentine's Day. But the shop was shut. I had left it to the last minute. Blow, I thought. And I was just about to leave when the owner of the shop arrived. And very, very generously, she said she would quickly open up the shop to sell me another voucher. So I thought, okay, well, this would be a quick conversation. I'll just get the voucher and go home. It'll look like I've had this planned for weeks. I'll be back before Ruthie's back. But the conversation went on for 40 minutes. Much longer than necessary. The lady remembered her conversation with Ruth from the time before. You'll spot that on the list there. Signs that you've met a person of peace. Remembering a previous conversation. Conversation going on longer than necessary. She remembered that Ruthie had mentioned that I was a pastor. You must meet my husband, she said. In years past, he was involved in youth work in the churches. And then we talked about their property and all the work that they'd done on the house to adapt it for hospitality. And then we talked about the all-natural skin and hair products that she sells. And I did casually mention that Mrs. Wallace does also have a natural hair and skincare range too. And then we worked out that she and Ruth were both school teachers. 40 minutes into the conversation, she was inviting us to dinner and to sample some of the wine from their vineyard. I chose the right day spa. But if you look at those slides, really, that's every box ticked to confirm for me, in case I might have missed it, this is a person of peace you're talking to. This was only our second conversation, and we're up to step two, eating and drinking together. Now, that's not to my credit. That is what happens when you meet a person of peace. That's how you recognize a person of peace. Two conversations in, we have the opportunity to practice being welcome guests. Now, we prayed last week for opportunities with our people of peace. We just asked the Holy Spirit to remind us who the people of peace might be in our lives. We prayed a blessing on them, and we prayed for opportunities. And this week, we're going to pray again. We're going to pray for wisdom and boldness to take up any invitations that we're given in the coming week. Are you ready to pray such a prayer? If you are, please stand with me and we'll pray together. I hope that's all of us. Because we all have people of peace in our lives. We all have people who welcome our presence in their lives. And it may be because of the grace and truth we carry, because people can sense what we carry. Or it may be for entirely other reasons. We share an interest, we share an activity. But I want us to be ready to be guests in this Luke 10 way. I want us to be ready for the moment when we're not in control, where we're not the hosts, where we're not the ones doing the inviting, but where someone is inviting you to come more closely into their life. It will certainly happen for some of us this week. It may happen for all of us. So we're just going to pray for alertness to the opportunities and boldness to respond. And we're going to pray with each other. So just pray with the person or persons next to you. We'll pray for 3 minutes. And then I'll look forward to hearing the stories of what happens in the week. So just take 3 minutes to pray together. And then we'll come back together for some prayer ministry. Thanks, everyone. We're going to have a time now where we're praying for people at the front. A number of our prayer team are traveling today, so I'll just hand-pick some prayers, I think. So, Travis, the Kerrs, John and Joe, if you could come forward and be part of our prayer lineup. Adam, thank you, I see you. Brad, would you be available to pray for people this morning? Yes, you. Thank you. No, I'll have you as a prayer. Yeah. And we'll just pause in case... sometimes the Lord gives people words of knowledge during the worship as to conditions that he's wanting to touch and heal. If you've had a word during the worship of that kind, just come and tell me. I'll share that. But we had a word of knowledge shared before the meeting for somebody who's got a problem. I don't know if it's painful. I think it's painful and a problem just about here in your lower back on the right-hand side just by the pelvis. Anyone here struggling with that? Two of us. Thank you. You come forward. Someone will be very happy to pray with you. We believe the Lord is going to heal these particular things this morning. And pins and needles doesn't sound like an enormous issue, but I think it's a nerve thing. And I'm sensing it's in the back of the right leg. Anyone here with that kind of an issue, nerve problem in the right leg? No, okay. Any other words that people have received during the worship that you'd like to share? We've all been concentrating. All right, I'll lead us in prayer. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and minister to your people this morning. Lord, where people are carrying hurts, we ask for your release of healing and reassurance and forgiveness. Where bodies need fixing, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask for you to release healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Come and minister to your people, we ask in the name of Jesus. Now, if you would like prayer for any need this morning, we have a team of people here ready to pray for you. Come forward. The Lord wants to bless you and touch you this morning. If you have kids, you may wish to retrieve them from the kids' ministries across the way. You can use the Tanbark path this week. Yes. Otherwise, feel free to mingle. Every blessing. Have a wonderful week.